Welcome to the Santa Ponsa Community Church online service. It's a great privilege that we're able to be together and to grow together as we study the Word of God. Today we're looking at the letter that Jesus communicated to the church in Philadelphia. And we are focusing on this city, this nationality, this citizenship that we get to enjoy. And we're going to look at the privileges and the responsibilities that comes with being citizens of this great nation. The Bible gives us a lot of pictures. It tells us that we are a household, a family, that we are a building, a temple, and that we are citizens of a great kingdom. So may you be blessed as we explore these privileges and responsibilities together.
Hey guys, welcome to Santa Ponsa Community Church online service announcements. I've just got a few announcements for you this week. First of all, I'd like to welcome you to the service. If you see the share button, press it. Share the service with your friends and your family through whatever social media platform you desire to share it on. We'd also love you to share our Facebook page, our Instagram pages. Have a look on there. Check our YouTube channel out. There's loads of sermons from previous months and months on there. The second thing I'd like to speak to you about this week is Right Now Media. If you're a member of our church and would like to check it out, it's a Christian Netflix. Send us an email to santaponsachurch@gmail.com and with your details, who you are, and we'll look at getting you a subscription to it to check it out. It's amazing. It's so good. The third thing I'd like to say to you this week is to check out the Santa Ponsa Food Bank Instagram page and Facebook page. They're doing a fantastic work in feeding the homeless and those that are needy and just in suffering on this island this year. And check it out and pray. If there's any way that you can help, that would be fantastic. The fourth thing I'd like to mention is the book of the week. It's Why Grace Changes Everything. It's the last week that we're going to be promoting this book. So buy it while you can. We'll put up a little link to buy the book. It's the greatest book that Chuck Smith wrote. If you want to know why grace triumphs over the law and why grace can change your life more than anything else can, buy this book and read it. Have a great service, guys. God bless you.
We are continuing our study in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7 through 13. We looked at what Jesus says to the church. We see that we talked about it is the brotherly love church. That's what Philadelphia means. And then we looked at their loyalty, We looked at the fact that there was religious people that were come against them that made them feel inferior, maybe excluded them. And Jesus says to them, I know those that are of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, and I will cause them to come and worship before you, and I will show them that I have loved you. You know, and sometimes we can go through circumstances that are less than favorable, and everybody else is going with very favorable circumstances, so therefore everybody feels very loved, and then somebody maybe feels marginalized, and then to realize, you know what, circumstances is not that, it's what matters is to know that we're loved by him. And today it goes on, and it goes on, you know, it says, because you have kept my commandment, verse 10, to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one takes it from you. And then it says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Father, please speak to our hearts. Enlarge our hearts. Give us vision. Just help us, Lord, to just realize the great privileges that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Part of the Christian life, I think the main, if you were to ask me, what is the most important aspect of the Christian life to you? You know, we would say, some of us would say Jesus Christ. Others would say maybe the Word of God. Another one would say the Spirit of God. And we would get into all these different subjects. But really, to me, the most important aspect of the Christian life is not necessarily what we see as much as the fact that we're able to see. It's realization. We are never able to see certain things unless God reveals it. And sometimes as Christians, we can feel, or more actually, as non-Christians, we can see it as rules and sort of something we must achieve. And even as Christians, sometimes we can fall into that trap, as opposed to seeing it as something that the Lord does in us. He reveals, we realize certain things. You look at the life of Abraham, and the life of Abraham from beginning to end is one of realization of who God is. You look at Peter when Jesus said, some say you are a prophet. Some say that you are John the Baptist. And then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter replied and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus replied this amazing thing, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed that to you. That's realization. That's revelation from God. That is probably the most important thing that we need to see the truths of the Bible as revealed by the Spirit of God. And the Bible gives us a lot of pictures accompanied with that revelation, gives us a lot of pictures of what the Christian life looks like, because one picture alone is not enough. The Bible speaks about the church being a household, a family. And I always say people come here as strangers and they leave as family. You know, we are the family of God. We have our Father, and we are brothers and sisters together. And then the Bible also says that we are a temple. And many times we just kind of think to ourselves, oh, mommy, I got to keep away from that sin, and I got to keep away from that sin just because it's the right thing to do, as opposed to realize that the reason we live in certain ways is because we are the very temple of God. This building is not the temple of God. We are. He dwells in us. And so there's a sense of conviction. There's a sense of, man, I want him to rule over my life, to dwell freely in me. I don't want to grieve. But another picture that the Bible puts before us of what the church is, it reveals it as a kingdom, as a nation, as a city. And this is what we're going to focus on today, the fact that we belong to the kingdom of God. Notice in verse 11, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." And notice in verse 12, it says, "The name of the city of my God I will put upon them, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." But notice the city, a citizenship belonging to this kingdom. And this is something that the Apostle Paul, who had been very religious, very sticking to the rules of Judaism and beyond Phariseeism, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. This is where at one point when he was on the road to Damascus and he was, and he came to you know, he just fell down to the ground and he hears that voice saying, "Why do you persecute me?" That day he realized that Jesus is the Lord. "Who are you, Lord?" he said. "Who are you, Lord?" There's something he realized, the Lord of the universe has stopped him in his tracks. And then he heard the words, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And that day he realized Jesus is the ultimate ruler, the one worthy of worship, the one that made and created everything. But Paul didn't stop there. So you see, as you see the life of Paul evolving through the years, you realize that he went for 3 years to Arabia, and there it was like a time of teaching, and then he grew, and he grew from glory to glory, and not just his life in revelation and realization. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Because of the great revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me." He had discovered so much of who God is and what he's prepared. And no doubt, that's why he said in Philippians 3:20, one of the things he realized, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Our citizenship is in heaven, he realized, "from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior." We're eagerly waiting for Jesus to come back. Now, in Ephesians 2:19, it says, "You are no longer strangers. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens." So you see the two. The two. One is like, we are no longer strangers and foreigners. Now we are belong to this great kingdom of God, and we are actually waiting eagerly for the King to come. Now, there's many talks nowadays about the Lord's coming is quickly. I want to point out to you that "Behold, I come quickly" was said 2,000 years ago. So what does quickly mean? You know, it's just like, and you know, we already looked at the word quickly in the first chapter that it means actually, it means once it begins to happen, it will happen very quickly. And we find ourselves in the middle of quite a situation, and everybody's wondering, is now the time? Is Jesus coming now? And then, you know, a few years ago with Y2K, everybody's like, "Oh, and the Lord's coming. The end of the world is coming right now." And then in other times of history, it's like the end is coming right now. And you know what? Have you ever heard of, I think it's called Brixton Hicks or Brixton Hicks contractions. You never heard of that? It's like when Loretta was pregnant, Mamma Mia, you know, she's like, "Oh," I was like, "Oh my goodness, we got to go to the hospital." And took her to the hospital. It's like, "Those are not it." Okay. So then, "Oh," it's like, "Okay, let's go to the hospital." And the nurse was like, "Those are not the actual contractions." And then one day Loretta goes, "Whoa, those are it." and then we went to Sanjat said we went because there they had the pool and Loretta wanted to have sort of half of a pool berth and there we were in this room and it had a swimming pool, a mini one like a jacuzzi, and then it had a bed and it had these balls and it had these things you could hold on to, and I was like, look like a gymnasium, and I'm just like, what do you do here, you know? And we're on the phone and I call Loretta's mom, is like, you know, I call them. Loretta doesn't pick up the phone, man. I'm the one that calls them. And I said, oh man, this room is amazing. And then I put Loretta on. I was, hi, mommy. I'm about to. And then so she would give me the phone and I'm just like, oh. And then all of a sudden she would come down. And then they'll be talking, oh, mommy, this room is amazing. And next thing you know, whoa! And she's crawling on the ground. And I'm laughing. I'm laughing. And she could probably kill me. But I was laughing because I couldn't understand. I mean, you know, sometimes you laugh because you're nervous. Well, I was laughing because I was nervous. But I was also laughing because how can it be one moment is so much pain, the next moment is all normality, you know? And but, you know, you realize that these contractions were, once they began, they came like waves, and those waves were closer together as time went by. And you know what? What we're going through right now could be Brixton Hicks contractions. It could be real contractions. What is it?
Braxton.
Those. Yeah. Those. Braxton. Braxton Hicks. And or it could be a real one. But the thing is that things, this is not necessarily the one, but it definitely puts it on the way to the one. We should be looking to Jesus. The King is coming. Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you know what? Paul was writing from prison and he was in Rome. And you just think to yourself the amazing city that Rome was. And he says, but we are citizens of heaven. Daniel, the book of Daniel speaks of Babylon, of Mesopotamia, of Greek Empire, of the Roman Empire. But these kingdoms will not last forever. There will be another kingdom that will come. And it would last forever. And Jesus spoke about the kingdom. And Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. So the church is a great empire, a great kingdom. Abraham was told by God in Genesis 12, verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. And you know what? As believers, we must come to their realization. We must pray, Lord, give me heavenly revelation. And maybe it'll happen today, but that we belong to the kingdom of God, that we belong to a bigger nation. And that's why when it comes to today and all the battles of politics here in Spain and in the U.S. and in Germany and Holland and everywhere we go, all these political problems, they're great. But ultimately, we don't vote with a political party. We vote with a great king. And what he stands for, we stand for. And what he stands against, we stand against. Why? Because we belong to the kingdom of God. We have a different nationality. Now, please understand, you cannot become a citizen of the kingdom of God by naturalization. You cannot become a citizen of the kingdom of God by receiving a passport. There's no such thing in the kingdom of God. The only thing that you can get into the kingdom of God is a birth certificate. You must be born into the kingdom. And that, we know, is by looking, knowing, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it says that we belong to a kingdom, it means that we don't belong to another kingdom. So we are a people who are separated and made distinct from all others. We are made different. And it's okay to be different. Sometimes we want to fit in with everybody, but I think when you're proud of something, you don't want to fit in. You're quite happy to be who you are. And you cannot be in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world in the sense of living for both. You can be in one but belonging to another. Separated, taken out. We have been separated to the kingdom of God. Ambassadors, like we looked at last week. Bound together to a common allegiance to a king. As the church, we are bound together. Our loyalty, like we looked at the week before, you have not denied my name. Our loyalty is to the Lord Jesus. And as we come to that realization that we belong to the kingdom of God, that we belong to the city of God, that we are citizens of the heavenly city, with citizenship to any country, there are certain privileges and there are certain responsibilities, right? There are privileges and responsibilities to being citizen of any country. And so we get to enjoy benefits. And my goodness, as Christians, do we get to enjoy benefits. I love those anchors for the soul in my life. The benefits. The moment we belong to the kingdom of God, the moment we are loyal to, you know, we receive what Jesus is and what he's done for us, we realize that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't matter what happens to you. It doesn't matter if your brothers betray you. It doesn't matter if you are a fugitive from a country because you've been falsely accused or rightly accused, for that matter. It doesn't matter whether you are single, whether you are married, whether you're in a good marriage, whether you're in a bad marriage, whether you have an illness. It doesn't matter what it is that we are going through, that you and I are going through. We know that the moment we are citizens of the kingdom of God, that all things, not something, not most things, all things work together for good for those who love God and are according to his and are called according to his purpose. Now, we have a very selfish way of interpreting this that says that, which means that all things are going to work together for good, that it will work together for my success. But I would venture to say that all things work together for good for his success in us. For his transformation in us. God is much more interested in what happens in you than what happens around you. Now, that doesn't mean that when the time is right, it will not go for your success. What do I mean by that? Joseph was sold by his brothers. I cannot think of a bigger betrayal than all your brothers selling you. And all things were together for good, for his intrinsic good, to shape him as a man. And eventually, after a very long time, it worked together for his good as he became number two in the kingdom of Egypt. Do you see what I mean? But God was much more interested in being with him and shaping him. The problem is that we, when he's shaping those things in between, we doubt him. We say to ourselves, if you were with me, then I wouldn't be going through these things. If all things were together for good, then everything would be good right now. No, no. Everything works together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose in his time as he finishes what he wants in us and he finishes what he wants around us. But notice this. If he gave Jesus, these are some of the benefits, how much more will he not give us all things? Realizing the benefits, sometimes we think that maybe God is holding something from us. That's what the devil wants to do. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? What did Satan tempt Eve with? He doesn't want you to have what he has. And Eve believed it. She was deceived. And sometimes we feel like, yeah, he gave Jesus, but he doesn't love me and he doesn't care for me and he doesn't accomplish this thing for me or that thing for me. And then Paul says, if he gave Jesus for you, how much more will he not give everything for you? He's not withholding. He just is the master chess player. He knows exactly what he's doing. Just be patient. And then cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Isn't that amazing? That, you know, when Nagmeh Abedini had her husband in prison in Tehran in Iran, you know, her main goal was to bring Saeed's case to Obama, to the president of the United States. If she could just get his case there, maybe he would care. And if he cared, maybe he would do something. And lo and behold, moving through senators and through petitions and through different things, she was able to bring the case right to Obama himself. And whether you agree with the Iran deal or not that was made by Obama, Saeed was in that deal. If he, Obama, being evil, as all of us, was able to do that, how much more is it an amazing benefit for us that we get to cast our cares upon the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knowing that he cares for us. He cares. He cares for you. He cares for you as you care for your most treasured possessions. My goodness, we just got our house refurbished downstairs and they painted the walls. And they just painted one door. And Arden, of course, he's like a magnet to what he's not supposed to do. He grabbed the snake and just threw it at the door. And I'm like, no! Why? Because I cared about the door. Jesus cares for us. Do we understand this? Do we understand that no matter what we're going through, the worst thing that could happen to our minds and our hearts is for the devil to tempt us that God doesn't care? One of his benefits is his care for us, but also the fact that we have access to the King. One of the benefits is that we have direct access to our King. Now, if I wasn't, my mom, she would kill me if you knew I'm saying this on video. Hopefully she won't watch it. But they stationed, my dad's in the Navy. So in the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., they gave orders, commands to my stepdad that he was going to be stationed for 3 years in Naples, Italy. My mom got in the car from Virginia Beach and drove straight to the Pentagon. And she spoke, I think it was an admiral, and said, you send my husband to Naples, I divorce him. So they didn't send them to Naples, but you know what? I think to a degree, maybe his career suffered because of it. But they didn't send them, you know? But the point is that probably the admiral was quite upset with that. Now, what if the admiral's child would have gone to see the admiral? Hey, Daddy, I don't want to go to this place today. Can we go to another place? The admiral would have said, here, get on my lap. What would you like to do? It's a whole different relationship, isn't it? We have access to the King. If you work in a big company and you're a CEO, if a newly employed worker comes in and says, I like to talk holidays, you'll be like, you like to talk the road. Get out of here. On the other hand, if the CEO's child comes in and makes his way forward. Daddy, daddy, he can barge into that office. And in the same way as Christians, we have access to the King. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come talk to me. I care. You are rich. You have benefits. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, it's all about what he has done for us. And in Psalm 103, it's, bless the Lord, O my soul. The writer is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, preaching to himself, and forget not all his benefits. We have benefits, and we have access to the King. But you know what? Another thing that we enjoy is we realize our citizenship, as we realize our responsibilities. One thing that we realize is we sympathize with one another. We understand one another as believers when we are citizens of the same place. I remember when I moved to the United States, it wasn't an easy thing as a 13-year-old to move to America. And you know, you had all these different cliques and you had all these different people and no one understood where you came from. In the United States, people understood, in Virginia at least, people just didn't understand much about Europe at the time when I moved there. And to say that you were from Spain, they thought maybe it was in South America somewhere, you know, and it's like, it just wasn't easy. And you know what, for us, when we found another Spanish people, now the world is so multicultural, has so many people of so many places. But man, when we ran into a Spanish person or we ran into someone from Mallorca, we would be like, oh my goodness, they're from Mallorca, sobrasada. You know, it's just like you would think, frito Mallorquí. You know, you would just want to talk about the things or the sea, and you would talk about the weather, and you would talk about the rocks, and you would talk about picking asparagus, and you would talk about all these things. And next thing you know, you're sympathizing and you're actually fellowshipping together about the place where you're from. In the same way as we realize our citizenship in heaven. And we are enjoying our King. We are able to sympathize with one another. We're able to share the things of the kingdom together. And you know, guys, it's very important this. If you ever find yourself with, not weird Christians, because there is such a thing, but if you find yourself with normal Christians and they're sharing about their love for God and their desire, maybe strategizing, how can we serve Him better? And maybe just the hope of heaven and the reality of sin. And you know what? And you find yourself that you're like, they're speaking a different language. Maybe it's time to get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a citizen of heaven. I want to know you, the King. Because where there is that hope of heaven, where there is that citizenship, where there is that fellowship, then we are able to sympathize, very much like Mary and Elizabeth. Remember when Mary, the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to bear a child and you're not going to be with a man. Remember, they called her a harlot. They called Jesus a bastard. And yet, Mary went to see Elizabeth, who was bearing John the Baptist. And she found someone that understood her. She didn't say to her, who were you with? She said, what is it? How can it be that the mother of my Lord should come and visit me? They were able to fellowship. And it's an amazing thing. When you're born again, when you know the King, when you have that hope of the nation, when you have that citizenship, all of a sudden you're able to fellowship about what God is doing. You're actually interested in what God is doing and the benefits and forgiveness. And it's called fellowship. It's called fellowship. It's called koinonia. It's not having a coffee together. It's actually talking about the things of God together. And like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, where it says, did our hearts not burn within us as he explained the scriptures to us? It's a fellowship. But then as citizens of the kingdom of God, of the New Jerusalem, we actually enjoy another benefit, which is the protection which this kingdom brings to us. I bet you Peter might know about this. There's a war that started in 1739, which is the Jenkins Ear War. Have you ever heard of that? No, you've never. I'm surprised, actually, because it had to do with the British Navy. And the British ships would be in the Caribbean, and the Spanish were a pain in the butt, the Spanish ships. They would go, and they would actually attack and plunder the British ships. Until at one point, what they did is they attacked one ship, and it was Jenkins' ship. And I don't know exactly what happened there, but they cut his ear off. And so Jenkins went with his ear in his hand. And this is not verified, this part. The Jenkins Ear War is verified. But whether his ear ever made it to Parliament is not actually fact. But many the story is told that way, that he went with his ear to Parliament and the war began. Parliament made a decision to go to war for 9 years against Spain because the Spanish ships took the ear of one of its citizens. I mean, a whole nation behind one man. Just because he was a citizen. And the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The Bible says, I will repay. If someone wrongs you, I will take care of it. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Bible says, no one can pluck you out of my hand. And in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, it says, he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. And it's amazing. You know, Jonathan, he was out in the skate park in Santa Ponsa with Loretta and Arden. And I guess Jonathan said it was a 50-something-year-old. He was an old man. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm getting there. And this 50-something-year-old man said to Arden, always in the way. You're always in the way. And just started getting, just messing with Arden. And Jonathan said to this 50-something-year-old, hey, you're talking to my brother. Don't talk to him like that. Now, Jonathan and Arden had Jonathan has a struggle with Arden sometimes, you know. Just the other day, it's happened several times, but Jonathan likes to fight with Arden, but Arden doesn't know when to stop. So the other day, he was right there in the living room, and Arden just runs full speed towards Jonathan and just goes boom in the belly. And Jonathan is just like, oh my goodness. So it's not like Jonathan doesn't have, he has a rough relationship at times with Arden, but don't you dare speak to Arden and mess with him. He protects him in school. He protects him at the skate park. He'll protect him anywhere. Imagine Jesus Christ with us. It says, you touch me. You touch one of them, you touch the apple of my eye. And sometimes we just need to realize that as citizens, we have the protection of heaven. Again, not from things, but through things. Paul was in prison. But it's like Whitfield said, I am indestructible until my time comes. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And sometimes we feel like things are prospering, but just give it time. Just give it time. We have the protection. Remember, Saul would persecute David, right? Saul persecuted David. Saul was in his palace, and never was he more naked. David was in the desert, and never was he more protected. We need to realize Jesus has our back. He will take care of us. But you know, these are all privileges. But like I said, with being citizens, there's not just privileges, there's also responsibilities, isn't there? It's not just about enjoying things, it's also about being a part and bringing something forward. Country before self. When a country is in trouble, people pull together in order to be able to help. You know, and in our country, particularly here in Spain, socialist, and in France and in Germany, where you find these things, and in the UK, my goodness, but you have the government with so much, people give the government so much responsibility to provide for the individuals, that sometimes it can get us into trouble that the individuals think that they have to milk everything from the government as opposed to maybe give something. I've always loved what Kennedy said at the Berlin Wall. He said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And you know what? It's not just about taking and receiving and taking and receiving. Oh, Jesus, give me this. Oh, Jesus, do that. Oh, Jesus, more this. Oh, Jesus, more that. Oh, Jesus, peace. Oh, Jesus, joy. No, no, no. It's about, how about, oh, Jesus, what would you like me to do? How can I help? How can I be a part practically of this great nation, of this great kingdom? I mean, look at the sense of responsibility in 2 Timothy 2:4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. There's a sense of responsibility. You know, and right now with what's going on and the amount of jobs, that people have lost 86% of their income. This summer, 86% of their income. And we have been involved since March to some degree helping families and things like that. And then we decided to go and get involved with the food bank. But think about it. I mean, and people are coming together with the food bank, which is a great thing here in the church and even outside of the church. And other groups are really helping themselves with providing food for one another. But think if people had the mentality, not just to think of themselves, but if everybody had a neighbor that they know that is struggling, and they would just help that person that they know that is struggling and will be able to share and pulling through this season together. You know, it's about pulling together. It's about being a part of a nation. You know, in a country, the nation comes first. The kingdom comes first. I remember in the UK during the Second World War, people began to pull together and they brought all their metal, their pots, their pans, everything they had to cook in order to provide for the nation. And guys, as Christians, there should be a sense, Lord, what do you want to do? What are you doing in the world? How can we get involved in what you're doing? After all, isn't that when he taught us to pray? When he says, when you pray, pray this, our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. And that's not a nice religious prayer we're supposed to pray. That should be something that we pray, your kingdom come. And then we say, Lord, how would you like me to be involved in your kingdom coming? How would you like me to be a part of it? Then the next thing is that we are strangers and pilgrims. Whenever we are citizens of a country, of a city, it means that we are strangers and pilgrims and we live according to that citizenship. We live differently. You know, we just had two guys from Colombia, Evelio and Gabriel. Mamma mia, they were working and they were doing helping us with the floors and just our floor in the living room had sank. And what happens in Spain, they put tiles over sand. So the whole thing sank. And so we had to redo the floor, and my goodness, you know, they would come over and they would start sharp at 8, and they would leave sharp at 4, and in between they would eat their food, and it's just like, you know what, I brought them some ensaimadas, I brought them some croissants, and then I brought them different things, and they were like, yeah, that's good, and then they brought their stuff. From Colombia, they brought their sweets and they brought their different things. And then I realized, man, these guys are living in Spain, but they're still living according to Colombia. And what I'm trying to draw from that, in a sense, that's what we should be like. Remember Daniel? He was taken to Babylon from Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was never taken from his heart. And Evelio said, I bought myself land in Colombia and I can't wait to go back. But there's a sense of living differently, living according to another country. That's how we should be like as Christians. There should be something about us that just doesn't match with this world. It just doesn't match. But also we should be concerned as a responsibility with the defense of the kingdom of God. I really don't understand how we should be knowledgeable of the scriptures, we should be knowledgeable of Jesus, and we should be able to say, you know what, that's not true. That's not right. In a world that's ever becoming more and more pervasive against Christianity, eroding it, we should be growing in a way that we're able to give a defense. We're able to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Realizing that that Jesus is getting his kingdom out. We should be like trained soldiers, trained in the book, trained in the faith, trained in our Lord. And our vision should be one that our desire is for the kingdom to become mightier and mightier. There should be a sense of, Lord, as the waters cover the sea, so the earth will be filled with your knowledge. How can I be involved in that furthering of the gospel? And just recently, we've been talking about, you know, in tithing and giving, we're always so focused on money and giving 10%. And money. And then all of a sudden I thought to myself, you know, if people would give 10%, not of their money, but actually of their availability, of their gifting, of what they do as a profession, do you realize the impact that that would have in the kingdom of God? And I'm experiencing that at the moment here. We have people that have gotten involved in the school, in the food bank, in the administration, in different areas of church life that you think to yourself, my goodness, in marketing and different things. And then you just see for the school, and you just see these beautiful pamphlets or things being done for the website, for the different things. And you just think to yourself, this is incredible. And in a sense, that is using our resources, who we are, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And there should be a real interest in our heart. There should be something in us where we long for that. You know what Apple does? Apple rewards their employees. You know what they reward them with? Not money. They reward them with shares in the company. Isn't that clever? Why would they reward them with shares? They reward them with shares because as the company grows, they grow. What are they trying to cultivate there? They're trying to cultivate a mentality for the spread of Apple products. the richer, the broader it is, the richer they become. Now, I'm not suggesting that should be our mentality, but there should be an interest in, because of who Jesus is, that that it is for the furtherance of the gospel. And after all, you know what we carry? You know what we carry when we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know what we carry? We carry dynamite. We carry life. We carry hope. We carry love. We carry righteousness. We carry what people are in desperate need of. And sometimes we see people as the enemy, and I'm guilty of that. I see people as those who oppose the gospel. What we should see is poor guys, they don't know what they do, because we have the answers to what they need. They keep searching for more, going to another place, spending a bit more here, doing this thing there, doing that thing there, going from one relationship to another, breaking up marriages for another thing. And they keep going from one thing to another thing because they still haven't found what they are looking for. And we have the answer. We have the answer to bring hope, to bring love, to bring grace, to bring joy, to bring... At the end of the day, whatever humanity needs, Jesus has. And that's what we carry. Our vision should be to have the kingdom, the city, become mightier and mightier. But guys, also the realization that you and I, our destination is that city. Our final destination is that city. We are going to spend eternity in this place. This is where, even for us, in our hunger, in our thirst, in our longing, in our yearning for righteousness, in our yearning for satisfaction, in our yearning for love, we know that Jesus has that for us. But we know that as long as we live here, it'll be a fight. But that we will come in and rest with an eternal weight of glory upon us as we enter into this city. Paul told the Corinthians, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do you not know that we shall judge angels?" Meaning, don't you realize where we're heading towards? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Don't you realize? The writer to the Hebrews says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." Don't you realize it? The writer of the Hebrews is saying, in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they came out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." And have you ever felt that you don't fit in anywhere? That's good. The only place you will ever fit in perfectly is in the very city of God. And that's why I feel so strongly that our main prayer as Christians should be, "Lord, give me revelation, give me realization, help me to realize the benefits, the blessings, all the things you've prepared." Read Ephesians 1 through 3. That's what it is. And then he says, therefore walk this way. But first is the realization. Do you feel like a stranger? Are you in the secrets? I mean, in the sense of being able to talk about the things of God, the hope ahead of us. Are you being conformed as a citizen to that? Are you being taught and growing in what a citizen of heaven looks like? And what do you have? Is it a passport, sort of like a church membership? Maybe an activity? Or do you have a birth certificate? Are you a child of God? Because Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And we are pilgrims on earth. A stranger is away from home. A refugee is running from home. A vagabond has no home. A pilgrim is going home. And that's what the Bible calls us. Pilgrims on the earth. And the writer, Jesus, writes to the church of Philadelphia, behold, I am coming quickly. And I will write on him the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven. Who are you? What do you have? What do you have when you breathe your last? Do you have everything? Or do you leave everything? That's the difference between a citizen of heaven and a citizen of earth. Death has no hold. The very longing that we have for more is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And it is manifested in the fact that the Bible speaks that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will reveal more and more to us of your goodness, of your kindness, of the benefits, the responsibilities that we have, Lord. And I am so grateful, so grateful that we belong to you. It is the privilege of our lives. And Father, if there's anybody here that is unable to fellowship, anybody here who really at the end just thinks, oh, or convinces themselves that there's nothing beyond death, I pray, Father, that you would do a great revelation, realization, and that today they might be like the Apostle Paul. Who are you, Lord, and what do you want me to do? Lord, keep us in any way from being religious in the sense of ritualistic and self-producing. Help us to come to a place where we see you and we respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
So citizens of the kingdom of God, of the great Jerusalem, the privileges of being protected, the privilege of the great hope that we have, the responsibility of that desire to make sure that the kingdom spreads. And these are the things that we need to be looking at in our lives. I believe with all my heart that most of the time our great problem is that we have a very small view of Christianity, a small view of Jesus. Let Him enlarge our hearts. Let us see Him. Let us see what He's brought us to be a part of. May God bless you as you continue to grow in revelation of the things in the Word of God, the character of God, and all the blessings that He's brought our way. God bless you.
Capture my heart, I surrender my will. Focus my mind till I'm yielded and still. Hearing your voice to answer your call. Carried away till I can't speak at all. Carry me away.